Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is 3K12 Education Talk Radio, the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education, on the first day of fall 2021. Summer's over. Wave goodbye. It's done. It's over. There's nothing you can do about it. We need to move on and accept this in our lives. It is autumn, okay? And it's always a nice time of year here in New England. I hope it's nice where you are, too. I'm in Maine. All right, as mentioned, we're the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. But the big news is our new website, okay, which is called SEL Today. SEL Today as in social emotional learning, seltoday.org. Go over there. I've already talked to one of my guests about it today. That's Dave Adams from the Urban Assembly and over at urbanassembly.org. Okay, and he's brought with him Byron Sanders from bigthought.org, which is SEL, and it's all about creativity. If I'm going to just steal a little bit of Byron's thunder there, but we're going to talk to Byron and Dave and think about all the wonderful things they're doing in SEL, which is really important these days, which is why we started the new site, because we realized that equity, what we do in our consortium for equity at ace-ed.org, is extremely important regarding SEL. The two march together in tandem, if I may. So the new site is really cool, and it's really good. And at ace-ed.org, you'll see our magazine, which is Equity in Access. And, of course, we archive the podcasts over there. But the ones that concentrate on SEL, we also put at seltoday.org. We've got stuff really growing and changing here. So check it all out. And, again, I'm Larry Jacobs. I want to be the first one to welcome you to fall 2021. And without further ado of me blabbing here, let me bring on the one and only Dave Adams. Hi, buddy. How you doing?
Larry, happy fall, man. It's nice to hear from
Thanks.
You.
Thanks. How's New Jersey? The trees haven't turned yet. They're still green up here.
It's still green. Sun is out. Basketball is playing. It's been a good summer.
Good. And you know something? You're right. It has been a good summer. Okay, and if only this COVID would go away, it would have been a perfect summer. Okay, and hopefully that's going away soon. Byron, you there down in Dallas?
Down here in Dallas. How you guys doing?
We're doing all right. The bad news is, Byron, I've let you on the show only because you're a friend of Dave's, because I'm from Philadelphia, and Eagles and Cowboys fans, they're just like, oil and water. What can I tell you? Okay.
You know what, but, so much is new in this world. Maybe we can turn over a new leaf. I don't know.
No, that would be impossible. This is driven by genetics. It's between the Cowboys and the Eagles. I'm sorry. Okay, it's unbelievable. Actually, I've been away from Philly long enough. I live in Maine now that I can look at the Cowboys, who, by the way, look really good this year, okay, with a very objective point of view. So, Byron, I keep saying
yeah.
Brian. Byron, it's a pleasure to have you here, my friend. It's a pleasure.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with y'all here today, and then, of course, with my man Dave as well.
Yeah, he is the man.
You know, have all the respect for this guy.
Yeah, well, join the club. You got to get in the line. Okay? Great guy. You know, he really is. I'm going to start with Dave. Dave, just quickly tell people about Urban Assembly so they understand where you're coming from. And you guys have a lot to do, both of you. We're going to concentrate on this, on social-emotional learning. So, Dave, go ahead. Urban Assembly.
Well, Larry, thanks for the opportunity. The Urban Assembly is a nonprofit. We are based in New York City, and we have a mission to enhance the economic and social mobility of young people by improving public education. We do that a couple of ways. The number one way, as Larry just talked about, is ensuring that all students have access to high-quality and intentional social and emotional development so they can be prepared for college, career, and community. We also support our schools in algebra success, as you know, through our academic supports. We support our schools through post-secondary readiness so that they have multiple pathways to post-secondary outcomes. And we support our schools through consultation across the country and ensure that what we know, what we do with our kids, all kids have access to. So that's a little bit about our schools, 23 schools here in New York City, but our reach is global. And our relationship with you, Larry, has really helped us think through what it means to have equitable outcomes for our students.
Well, thank you so much for saying that, Dave. We love working
You're
with
welcome.
You as well. That feeling is mutual. And by the way, truth be told, Dave, he's based in New York, but like the football teams, he plays in New Jersey. Okay, he's from New Jersey.
That is very true.
That's all I can say. Okay, New York. It's only New York, Jersey side. Okay, Byron. Okay, tell us what's going on down in Cowboy Land with BigThought.org. And by the way, UrbanAssembly.org, and I want to make a point, Byron. Okay, Urban Assembly will work with your school district no matter where you are. Okay, and they are the experts in incorporating SEL into the curriculum. Okay, and show how it builds everything within the curriculum. So UrbanAssembly.org. Now it's Byron's turn. Go ahead. BigThought.org.
There you go, Big Thought. So Big Thought is an organization down here in Dallas, and we begin. You said fall has arrived. It's a little late down here. It's you know, about 90 degrees this morning, so I want to start off there. But here in Dallas, Big Thought, we're an organization. We've been around about 30 years, and the whole reason for our existence is we want to facilitate a world where all youth are equipped to imagine and create their best lives, their best world. And we particularly focus our work on closing the opportunity gap, working with young people from historically marginalized communities, black and brown youth down here. And there's a very close tie between, and unfortunate predictor between race and economics in our city, as it
sure
is in many cities across the country. And so what we're here to do is leverage and spend our time in three specific places. One, building the creative muscle. Two, building social emotional well-being. And three, helping young people discover and then use their own voice, youth agency. So creativity, social emotional learning, and youth agency, and there's a ton of ways that we do it. But total impact about 100,000 kids between our programs and the ecosystems that we're intermediary for and support. And it's all about helping young people build these critical 21st century skills, things we used to call soft skills, but we know we're never really soft.
Oh, they are soft skills.
And that's what we do down here in Dallas.
By the way, I'll give you, I think I've told this to Dave about 1,000 times. Okay, my favorite quote is some guy I interviewed years ago in Ohio, and his job was to get students, particularly of color in his case, okay, into jobs, okay? And I'll never forget his quote. He said, they are always hired because of their hard skills, and invariably they're, quote, fired because of their lack of soft skills, okay? And
that's right.
We call them soft skills, and I think that's really a misnomer. Okay. These are life and career skills. We have to give them a stronger name. They're just not academic 100%. Skills. Yeah, you know, and it's a mistake on our part, a bad label. Somebody's going to say something. Yeah.
Hey, Larry, you know what? So I've known Byron for so long, and I've always thought that he has a radio voice, but I've never had like an official kind of like a producer who can kind of confirm my thinking, because, you know, he comes from the arts, he's a drama guy. So, like, I've been really waiting for this opportunity to check with you to tell me if this guy really has a radio voice that I think he
absolutely.
Does. So I was wondering if you could help us out.
Absolutely. His own podcast is coming. I can hear it as clear as day, for goodness sake. That's very funny. And actually,
you know, I didn't know this was a long game, Dave. I didn't know.
This is your audition.
Your secret is revealed.
Congratulations. Sirius Radio is calling. No, not to worry, okay? They're called coming your way. They should, in all reality. You know, Byron, it's interesting. Dave, do you have a theater background? Did I just hear that?
So, Dave, you're really generous, bro. I would not say that I have a theater background. I do have a theater love, and I did theater in high school. Matter of fact, I actually stopped playing basketball so I could do the spring musical.
That sounds
way more like heroic than it actually is, because, you know, I was not going to get a scholarship in basketball. This was not a thing that was happening. But they were doing Little Shop of Horrors that year, man, and I had to be the voice of the plant, Audrey, too, and it was calling me, and I had to jump in.
Good for you, man. I always love theater, too. You know, it's funny, and basketball's lost, theater's gain, at least in high school, for you, Byron. Okay? By the way, just so you know, I'm going to brag a little bit. I went to Overbrook High in Philly, okay, which produced Wilt Chamberlain, and Walt Hazard, and a whole bunch of other guys, and also the current actor, Will Smith, all of them from Overbrook High.
You had a brush with, a lot of fame there, man, a lot of talent.
Well, they were old. Some were older, some were younger. Okay, like I was going to say, three winners and then me. They couldn't keep the streak going.
You're winning in my book there, Larry.
Thanks, pal. I appreciate that. You know, it's interesting that you said about the theater, because when I was on the Big Thought website earlier, the thing that struck me, I wrote this down, was the constant word create. And you said that first, as a unlock their creative minds, or the way you said that. And the whole idea of teaching kids to create. All right, and talk again. Just expound on that for a minute, because that's something. And to me, it is part of SEL, obviously, to unlock that creative mind. Okay, and not be scared to put that stuff forth. That's again part of student agency. But Byron, just talk about that for a second. That need to create, the creative side. Again, bigthought.org, everybody.
Thanks. So the reason why we focus so much on creating is because it's actually one of the base identifiers of human beings, you know, relative to the rest of the, you know, living world. We create, we innovate. It's core to who we are. It's core to our identity. And the reason why I'm saying we have to really stop calling these things soft skills and move away from calling these soft skills is because the critical nature of them are almost existential to the future ability for a person to live, work, play, thrive. And it really kind of goes back to, strange way, technology. So with technology all around us, we see automation increasing, and it's increasingly encroaching upon jobs across the spectrum. Blue collar, white collar, they even call them new collar these days. And the idea is that, you know, many of the things that are process-oriented, predictable, things that are repetitive, those tasks are being automated. Mm-hmm. So what happens when not only are jobs eliminated, but even the jobs that you know of that will remain, even jobs that we need more of, are fundamentally redefined? Well, now the thing that's the asset for you is your ability to problem solve. It's your ability to analyze, to be a critical thinker, to create solutions in a place where there aren't any, right? That's now the thing that's most valuable. And if we know that that's the world that we're actually, that's upon us and that we're increasingly moving toward, the question then becomes, where do people get the opportunity to build those kinds of skills? Where do people get the opportunity to shape and to fashion that? It's not in school as we have shaped it. It's not in our traditional, you know, we have one actual time machine that's been verified, and it's a schoolhouse where people walk in, and we've essentially been doing the same thing with slight variation for the last, you know, half century and more.
Half century? I would say more than that.
Yes.
A lot more than a
exactly.
half century.
Exactly.
So
then the question becomes, okay, well, you know, what's valuable? And what's valuable is living on the frontiers of possibility, because the world is changing so rapidly that you can't even tell a 13-year-old or a 3-year-old what they're going to be doing and what's going to exist in the next 10 years, let alone exactly what their career is going to be. Prepare them with the skills to step into a world that even though it's the big foggy tomorrow, they're going to be ready to adapt, build their own opportunities, and actually go forge solutions to some of these problems that we know have been intractable for our generation and the generations before. That's why we say we're trying to equip young people, not teach them, but equip them to go out and create.
And that is wonderful. It's a beautiful philosophy. I got to tell you that. I'm going to ask you a question which is going to sound funny, but I don't mean it to be funny. When you go in, I'll read the three thoughts: build the creative muscle, develop social emotional skills, create students' authentic voice. And I read that, by the way, off your website, okay, bigthought.org. And I just what do you guys at Big Thought, you folks, I should say, actually do? Do you go into schools? Do you work after school programs? And once you're in wherever you are, maybe you have a big building somewhere that all the kids come to. Okay, what do you actually do? How do you make all this happen? And that sounds funny when I ask it, but you know what I mean.
I'm about to say, man, that is not a crazy question at all. I tell people that it feels more like we're an enterprise than an organization, because we actually accomplish this equipping creators in a range of different ways. It's three big categories. One is our direct-to-youth programs. I'll talk a little bit about those. Two, it's us being the intermediary, basically a collective impact agency that helps other organizations, oftentimes smaller community-based nonprofits, but, you know, also large institutions like the Dallas Public Library System. And then the third is we actually now have a consulting practice where we do work not only with you know, ostensibly youth-serving institutions like school districts, but then also, like, we just launched a massive curriculum, nationwide curriculum with Main Event. If anybody's ever been to Main Event, you know, like the gaming and the arcades and all this stuff, we built an accredited curriculum that's laced to standards across the country that allow young people to turn that entire center into a STEAM learning experience. So there's a range of different ways. One of the examples of the programs that we do that our team goes out and operates is a program called Creative Solutions. It's work that we actually do in the juvenile justice system. We're working with kids on probation who are referred to us. We have a summer camp out in community at a university, and these youth come in, and they're literally paid as teaching, as working artists over the course of the summer with a stipend. But the whole point is using creativity, this artistic medium, as a means for us sharing and imparting social and emotional skills that are all trauma informed, and you know, there's a ton of scaffolding in it. But the whole point is they choose one or two pathways: visual arts or performing arts. They have to do a big crescendo at the end, but it has the lowest recidivism rate in the county, one of the lowest in the state, and it's powerful. Kids are writing a beautiful story with their own words, using a ton of different media. That's the kind of stuff that we do, in addition to work in campuses on, you know, Dallas ISD is our largest partner. So it's a range of different ways, but all of it is, it goes back to that core of helping create creators.
I think it's really cool. And I have to ask you, you said at the beginning, Byron, you know, that you're focused on, I'll say, kids of color. You said black and brown kids. Okay. But can we take your curriculum and apply? I'm just going to go into rural eastern Kentucky, up here in Maine, okay, where there's not, that's a great deal Caucasian up here and great deal Caucasian out in eastern Kentucky, I assume, and all that sort of thing. Okay, can we apply your curriculum to any school district?
Absolutely. The beautiful thing about it all is that this stuff works because we're all human. And
thank you.
We have
exactly.
an innate desire to create, right? And that's the other thing that I always want to make sure we're saying whenever we say this, and particularly when we're talking about social emotional learning. You know, sometimes people say, you know, those kids really need some social emotional learning. And those kids being, you know, unfortunately, they're talking about kids of color. They're talking about black and brown youth because they're saying those kids have behavior problems that need to be controlled. Right. That is a really terrible framing of what social emotional learning is. And it's what's important for human beings. All kids
That's
of
right.
all stripes, all walks, zip codes, doesn't matter. The reason why we focus on black and brown youth is because we're trying to affect systemic change broadly. And what we're saying is there's not an achievement gap as much as there is an opportunity gap.
That's
and
right.
You see a difference in achievement from black and brown youth, but it's not an indictment of the individual children. That's kind of what an achievement gap framing sometimes leans people toward. What it says is that we have not created the right conditions so that the same kind of humanity that shows up in a well-heeled, you know, suburban community,
yeah,
that same
exactly.
type of humanity, aspiration, and chasing, that should absolutely and can show up in the hood or places that have been the hood or black and brown, predominantly black and brown communities, because we're all human beings and we really all want the same stuff. We're here to close that gap, which is why we say
good.
Our focus is on measuring our impact by looking at how well we're doing that.
And how well are you doing? How do you measure it? Because that's a big deal these days is assessment. Okay, and how do you
yeah.
And by the way, there's a great assessment company in SEL called XSEL, Excel Labs. Dave knows them. Dave, I've been talking to Nova over there, your buddy. You and her work together.
Yeah, sure. That's Clark
yeah,
McCallum.
Great.
He's been doing some really
exactly.
good work around
exactly.
computer-based assessment.
And,
yeah.
and they do the assessments,
yeah.
and I'm going to – yeah, and that's key stuff. Because every school district, because we're Education Talk Radio, every school district is talking about SEL, okay? And there's a lot
mm-hmm.
of companies, et cetera, out there. But does it all work? And just talk about that, because that's going to be important to people who are listening. Byron, I'm sorry, I keep saying Brian. I don't know why I'm doing that. Forgive me.
Not
Byron.
Me.
Yeah,
you're
I'm
good.
Sure it happens. I'm sure it happens plenty, but I don't like it when I do it. Okay, Byron, talk about assessment, okay, or how you are assessing
yeah.
what you guys do with Big Thought.
Yeah, depending on the program, we're using different tools. Let me give you the example. So with the using the creative solutions, kind of going with that example, we actually use a social skills improvement system as a Pearson tool. Nationally norm. They've done some recent updates to it to make it even more effective, I think, for younger youth. But it is a phenomenal tool that's allowed us to have multi-year impact assessment on, positive traits and thoughts, not traits, positive, characteristics and mindsets. And then also, negative mindsets, and you're looking for an increase in the positive, looking for a reduction in the negative, and you can actually track that over the years. One of the things that we've been able to see and why we know we're so effective, we look at the recidivism rates, which, by the way, is 9% over the last 7 years, which is a really, really low number.
That's right.
Especially given that we take in young people who have had some more serious offenses like aggravated assaults, sexual assaults, things like that. So what we have, though, are multiple years showing that a kid comes in at the beginning. We do a pretest. This is what their SSIS score is. Usually our average in the class, in the core, is below the national norm. Usually in the first year of dosage, most young people end up right around that national norm, which is a significant increase for youth who have come to us on average having experienced 14 distinct traumatic events over the course of their life.
Wow.
So let's just put that out there too.
Wow.
Yeah. And so the next year, they're above national norm. Then the next year after that, they're even higher. So we're actually able to see this stuff isn't loosey-goosey. It's not just rainbows, butterflies, and daffodils. There's hard content that you can look for, and at the end of the day, it's what we have to hold ourselves accountable to.
It's just brutal. How many traumatic events? What's the average?
Yeah, so this is
that
this is the sad part, man.
Man.
On average, a young person who enters the adjudicated system and shows up at our doorstep has experienced about 14 distinct traumatic events over the course of their lives up to that point.
And how old a kid are we talking
about? And usually
about
we're dealing
that
with
point? How old a kid is that? 14.
There you go. That's what I was about to say. Usually the age is about. I think our average age is about 15.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Wow. Oh.
And you guys know the ACEs. You guys have seen the ACEs research, right? Like, how many ACEs it takes for it to have a material effect on your life expectancy. It ain't no 14, I'll tell you that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Dave, yes. You were going to say something?
No,
Dave?
I mean, look, I went down to visit Byron maybe 3-4 years ago before the pandemic, and there's a story that a young man told us that I repeat in all my trainings. And we were going through, he was showing us the work he was doing around SEL and creativity and his teaching partners. And he came up to my director of SEL now, which is Brandon Frame, and he said, you know, I really appreciate all this work that you guys have done. You know, you guys, this is Big Thought, have really helped me to think through and solve problems, but I don't understand why I had to get in trouble to learn these skills. And I say that all the time during my presentations around why it's so important to promote social-emotional skills, to support social-emotional problem solving. It's not about just keeping kids out of jail, right? But it's about letting them live the best versions of themselves, as Byron says, equipping them with the problem solving that they need to be successful. And there's no reason, while I love Big Thought, you know, and I think they do an amazing work, there's no reason that a student should have to be in criminally adjudicated context to have to learn the kinds of things that Big Thought is teaching.
Yeah, I hate to say it, the goal is – you're not going to have to worry about this, Byron, but the goal is to make this – put you guys out of business, okay, and make sure kids are okay so they don't need you. But that ain't happening so soon. Mm-hmm. I mean that – well, it's just – you know, it's just brutal out there. It really is. And so much of it, I think, and I've talked to Dave about this, is A, economics, obviously, and B, expectations are too low. We don't hold kids. We go in with a preconceived notion, and we don't hold kids to the same high standards, okay, which they will rise up to, okay, if we do that. But I think generically we don't do that. Okay, and that's a big thing. And I also want to talk to you, Byron, this is amazing. I got a note here. You had an article called Why Education, this is cool, everybody, Why Education Nonprofits Must Think Beyond Education Policy in Forbes. In Forbes, obviously you're one of those billionaires I've heard so much about. You drive your Tesla to work every day, okay? And then now it's used. You get a new one the next day, okay? And if I would talk about this article, what was it about? Almighty Forbes writer, this is really cool. We may get you to write something in our magazine, okay, which is a step
well,
up.
Well, look, I hate all about
only
it.
Only kidding.
We're all about it. We're trying to get the message out there. Well, the thing is, it actually goes back to what Dave was saying. So that young man asked a really poignant question, and he said, why did I have to go to jail before I got something that could change my life? A little bit earlier, he was talking with us about some of his friends who were learning about some of the things he was doing, and they were saying, you know, what do I got to do in the program? They were literally thinking about what are low-level offenses they can commit so that they can get in the program. And when you see that type of disincentive, you can't forget it. Two, you feel really charged to go out and do something about it. So what we said is, this is why systems change matters so much. Big Thought, I mean, we just got a great gift from Mackenzie Scott, which is fantastic, right? But we can get 100 of those. We can get 1,000 of those. And we're never going to have enough money to do it all by ourselves. We can't match what even the largest two school districts in the state of Texas serve by having kids 8 hours a day, you know, from the age of sometimes 3 all the way up to 18. So our systems themselves have to evolve to embed this social-emotional practice in them. It's exactly what Dave says, you know, for the education speak, right? We have to move to tier one adoption of broad-based social-emotional integration. And it can't feel like this thing that's, you know, okay, guys, now it's our SEL time. Put it in a box, set it aside, and then continue everything business as usual. It's one of the reasons why we are actually wrapping up a study funded by the Wallace Foundation, and the whole premise is what can happen if a school district and a large out-of-school time system embed social-emotional learning in both and the after-school. And we've been doing this for 4 years. It's a six-city study. Dallas is one of them. And it's Dallas and Big Thought that are the funded partners. We also have a partner down here called Dallas After School. And the whole premise is, bring in explicit practices to embed social emotional learning, and they always muffle me. I can't talk about what we're seeing from a results side, but I can tell you that we are seeing results, and soon the report is coming out. But I can't. I give you this: what we have learned, and I think the pandemic has lit it up more glaring than ever before, is that learning is a relational exchange. It's not something where just the facts and figures work and these children are automatons. You inject the right code, it spits out the right answer. It's relationships. It's human beings. And if we lay a strong foundation with social and emotional practice, then we have the opportunity to not only see disciplinary referrals reduce, but also see outcomes, academic and otherwise, increase for young people because there's connection, there's belonging, yeah. There's a sense of identity. All those things that we know come with a strong foundation in social emotional learning. It's as critical as it's ever been, but I think more people are starting to see it, and that's pretty exciting.
It is pretty exciting, and it's really about time. And I got to tell you, I'm glad you got a grant from Mackenzie Scott, who I think is one hell of a lady. I just want to say that.
Yeah.
Okay. Which she has really put together something. Okay. The Jeff Bezos' ex-wife,
yeah.
Everybody, and she has just really put something together. I think she's just a damn good person. Okay. That's just my feeling from what I've read, et cetera, et cetera. I'm glad 100%. You were able to get something. Yeah. It's really cool. Dave, I've been concentrating so much on the good stuff of Byron. Anything to add? Dave Adams, my good friend, Urban Assembly. Dave?
Well, you know, I mean, I can never say more than how Byron says it, because the importance of integrating social-emotional learning, recognizing that all learning is social-emotional. We were country before country was cool, you know? We've been thinking
yeah.
about that, Larry, for
yeah.
a very long
yeah.
time.
Right.
And
yep.
we're just excited to see that people have caught
yeah.
up. That's right.
Yeah.
So, you know, people
well,
ask
again,
me to say,
here we go again, Dave. Once again, the pandemic opens the doors. Okay, to something.
Right.
I mean, this stinking lousy pandemic, and I don't mean to be a friend of the pandemic, but all of a sudden we realized the situation we were in, and things are going to be better from here on. You know, it's just a good thing to grow out of a mess. What can I say?
This is rhymes with what
yeah.
Byron said about the young man in Dallas. He said, why
yeah.
did I have to go to jail to learn these skills? And why do we have to have a pandemic to realize that social-emotional learning is a foundational outcome of
yeah.
High-quality education? But, you know, I'm not going to look at the past. I'm not going to worry
yeah.
about what could have been. I'm going to appreciate where we are now. And
yeah.
Somebody asked me recently, what do I look like, or what do I feel like education should be like in 20 years in the context of SEL? And if you think back into, like, the 1900s, right, literacy was just about penetrating the whole society in terms of public education.
That's right.
People had just been able to graduate in a way that most Americans could read and write. And we're at that same turning point on the SEL context, right? We're at a point right now where if we do our jobs, and Larry, you keep talking, and Byron, you keep working, and I keep leading, we're
yeah.
going to get to a point where SEL competence is the same way as reading and writing, that people graduate
That's
high
right.
school and are able to solve problems. They know how to relate to themselves, relate to others at a certain competency level that can contribute to their community. So I'm inspired by the work that Byron's doing. Larry, you know, I always appreciate the fact that you put me on and
well,
get that
you're
message
always welcome
out.
Here, friend.
And you got a whole new adventure here around SEL. Why don't you talk to us
yeah,
about
we
that?
We do. SELtoday.org. And Byron, I did it again. Byron, go over
yeah.
there. Check out what we're doing over there. It's all part of our consortium for equity, but you'll like it. SEL Today, everybody, SELtoday.org. And we're
going
to get you
I'm
guys
going there right
about
now.
This. But we're going to get you guys involved in this, okay? And you know what you were saying, it always reminds me of that phrase you both know, everybody listening knows, is educational technology, okay? And we don't
yeah.
have to say that, and this is my point, we don't have to say that anymore, because technology is like chalk. We never said education chalk. We just took chalk for granted as being part of education. Now it's technology. And it's the same
yeah.
thing with SEL, okay? It's just going to be part, and this is what we're working for, part and parcel of what we think of as education. And education has to change. You said it at the very beginning. The jobs that we know are rapidly being automated. And the funniest one of all that, I don't know if you guys know this, there was an article in the Boston Globe. Okay, they opened up a completely automated, I hope you're ready for this, Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
Okay. There's no kid
that.
In there anymore wearing the little hat or anything. Okay. Okay. You go in and you press a button. I want a medium coffee with sweet and low and a chocolate frosted donut. And 2 seconds later, it pops out of a machine like Star Trek. Okay.
Yeah.
And so who's going to be, you know, these jobs are leaving. Not that that's such a great job, but it's a respectable job. But these guys, these jobs are leaving for kids in high school over the summer. They're leaving. All right, and we have to get everybody to understand if your mind is creative, you can come up with the thing, you control the world. You'll control the world.
So,
like Jeff Bezos who did DeForest McKenzie who gave you the money, there it is. There you go, bro.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so to that point, you know, you asked the question about policy a little bit earlier. You know, so the question then becomes, you know, how do you create – a world where we have two problems that we're trying to solve. So one, you have jobs rapidly disappearing. Two, you have jobs that are rapidly creating. The jobs that are disappearing, that's what people have been doing for a long time. The jobs that are rapidly creating, there's a shortage because we don't have enough people with these kinds of creative skills laced on top of technical skills. Like tons of jobs are going to be in data analytics down the line.
There's tons of jobs right now that are going untaken, and a lot of them are because, if I may, I'm just going to say it this way, kids in urban and rural areas have no exposure to these jobs. Okay, they don't even know what we're talking about. Okay, and schools,
and so,
the purpose of a school is to create good citizens, okay, and create a workforce.
Yep.
That's the two jobs of a school district, okay, and they got to do that. That's all there is to it. I could talk to you guys forever, but I can't. We got to go soon. Jeez, went quick. We got to go soon.
Oh, man. Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
We'll do more. That's all the rage.
This has been great, man. Right, it has been. I got to tell you, Byron, it's been great to meet you. And Dave, thank you for this introduction. This was wonderful.
Thank you, Larry. I apologize that we have so much to say and so little time to say it, but, you know, we got a lot to do, a lot of urgency in the world, and you brought two people who take that urgency seriously.
Yeah, you guys are A-OK.
Dave is the man.
I got to tell you. All right. Thank you, and really, I don't wish any good luck to either the Jets, the Giants, or the Cowboys. Just, I want to leave with that happiness. I just want to make sure you guys understand that. All right, and so I will talk to you all later. I'll get in touch with you later today. We'll do more, okay? Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Y'all take care.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Yep, right. I will. You too. Bye. Okay, everybody, that was great. Byron Sanders, bigthought.org. Dave Adams, urbanassembly.org. Okay? And we're going to archive over at ace-ed.org. And this show will also be at seltoday.org. Go over there, check it out. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on the first day of fall 2021. Thanks for listening.